Take your Bible. Let's go to John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6. Had a lot of resurrection in them songs this morning, didn't it? A lot of lifting up, a lot of raising. Good stuff. We're going to go back a little before that in some of this. I'm going to bring something to you today that I'll just remind you, make a reminder out of our message today. Let's start in verse 47 of the 6th chapter. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about it. Verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And since this is in red, that kind of gives me a clue that this is the Lord's talking. He says, "I'm that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily," we talked about that a little last week, didn't we? Listen up. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Verse 57 of this tells us that Jesus represented the Father. I would submit to you this morning that he did so perfectly. Lord goes on to tell us that we should represent him, that you should live by me, he says. Live by me. Now, it doesn't take long to look around to see that there's been a breakdown in living by me. You don't have to look very far. There's been a great breakdown among the church in living by him. Reminds me of a little boy that had a little old mangy mutt that he had trailing along behind him on a rope, and he had this mangy mutt and run under this fella out there, and the fella turned to the boy and said, "What kind of dog's that?" Because he looked like a Hind 57, wasn't sure what was in him. He looked like an Alaskan weenie dog. And he said, "What kind of dog is that?" And the little boy said, "Oh, that's a police dog." He said, "A police dog? I don't see that in him at all. How do you get that?" The boy said, "Well, he's a Secret Service police dog." Friend, Jesus did not shed his blood to empower a bunch of Secret Service agents. He did not. Wants us out front. He wants us to be living by him. This passage talks about the bread and talks about the blood, and there's a lot of the blood in this one right here. And I want you to get this morning something that the old songwriter has already given us a clue about, but I want you to realize this morning that there is power in the blood. That there is power in the blood. And when I'm talking about living this way and living by Christ, there is power to do that. There is power in the blood to do that. Billy Graham, when he was preaching early on, a professor from Cornell University came up to him and told him, he said, Brother Graham, he said, if you intend to have any kind of worldwide ministry, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to tone down that blood stuff. Well, was he right? Huh? Billy Graham said, from that day on, I purposed in my heart to put more blood in my sermons. The worldwide ministry of Billy Graham proves that that was a good move. Amen. Did you know that Jesus' blood was sacred blood? Jesus' blood was sacred blood. Where does a baby get its blood from? Mama or daddy? Daddy determines blood type. Did you know that? A baby can have a completely different blood type from the mama. Sometimes people think that babies and mama's blood gets all mixed up in there some way, somehow. They're two separate people, by the way. Amen. They are people, all right? But it's the daddy that determines the blood type. That's where that comes from. Why was Jesus born of a virgin? An earthly man couldn't be involved. If an earthly man is involved in that, then he lends something. An earthly man could not be involved in that. It's the reason for the virgin birth. It was a God thing, you see. Sacred blood is what was coursing through Jesus' veins. He was the Son of God. And it was God's blood that flowed through his veins. Acts chapter 20. Let me give you this right quick. Real familiar verse, but I don't know if you ever looked at it exactly this way. Verse 28 of the 20th chapter. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he, who's he? God, hath purchased with his own blood. This is talking about the blood that's coursing through the veins of Jesus Christ. Who purchased the church? Well, God did. With what? His own blood. It is sacred blood. Sacred blood that passes through the veins of Jesus Christ. It was also shed blood. It was sacred blood, but it was also shed blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and 22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that for sin. It was shed blood, not spilled blood. I take exception when the hymn writers have changed one of our hymns. It used to not say that. And I don't sing it that way when it comes up. He didn't spill his blood. It was shed blood. There's a difference in the two. In John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said that no man took his life from him. He said, I laid it down. He said, and if I lay it down, I'll pick it up again too. So no man took it from him. Jesus did not die as a martyr. That's what martyrs do. He died as a substitute. There's a huge difference in the two. He poured out his life in order that we might have life. So that sacred blood that Jesus shed becomes saving blood for all that will receive it. Let me go back into the old book for just a minute. Leviticus 17, looking at verse 11, says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. No wonder the devils at Cornell want the blood out of the message. Huh? Is it any wonder that the attack comes from all of these wonderfully learned places that are out there? Saving blood. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me give you this one too. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Hello? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Sacred blood, which was shed blood, become saving blood. Folks, the blood of Jesus was not like our blood. Ours is passed down from father to father. And as such, it is tainted by our forefather Adam. That sin inherited, passed along in the lifeblood of all who will come after them, like father, like son. Like father, like son. Jesus' blood came from his father, so that he who knew no sin could be sin for us and provide salvation that could come no other way. The perfect, which was Jesus, became a substitute, not a martyr, became a substitute for all of the imperfect, who is us. The blood of Christ, Scripture says, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that cool? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only was his blood sacred and shed for us that we might be saved, part of what I want to get at in this message this morning is that it was shared blood as well. Shared blood. John chapter 6. We're going to look at several scripture right here, right at one after another here. John chapter 6. Get back to the beginning point. Verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. What happened when Jesus said that? Have you had a chance to read before and after the passage that we have that we're here? Have you re-looked at what took place in all of this? What happened when Jesus said that? Look at verse 66. Here's what happened. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Wow. They walked away. Why? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? They walked away. Why did they walk away? Because they were offended. What offended them? What was it? Genesis 9:4. Still awake? Genesis 9:4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. Look at verse 17. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Go to the 17th chapter of Leviticus, 14th verse. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off, he said. That's it. They heard enough. They'd heard enough. And they went away. They were offended by what he said right there. Why were they offended? no spiritual ears. They had no spiritual ears that they were hearing with. You do know that he's talking symbolically here, right? Talking symbolically in this passage. Let's think about this for a minute. 5 or 6 quarts of blood in a human body. I don't think the entire human race is going to be able to drink that. Not going to be enough to go around. He's speaking symbolically when he speaks about these things. Look at verse 61 again. When he knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said to him, "Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now we're getting back around to it. The symbolically speaking about these things. He moves the whole thing from the physical world over into the spiritual world right there. All he's getting at is simply this. Let my life be in you, is what he's saying. Let my life be in you. Jesus is to your spirit what blood is to your body. Jesus is to your spirit what blood is to your body. Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me, he says. Just as the life of the flesh is the blood, the life of my spirit is Jesus Christ, which is laid out for us in 63. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. What's quickeneth mean? Makes alive. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What is the purpose of the Spirit in your life? To speak truth into your life. To guide your life in order that you might respond to the Spirit and use the flesh for menial task and for compassion and all of these things out here. But it's the Spirit that's to drive your life. He gave himself for us that he might give himself to us. The victorious Christian life is absent from many Christian lives. Oh, they get saved by the blood. I get that. We're saved by the blood. And it had to be shed blood. They get that part. But they know nothing about the shared blood. Never moved over into feeding on him. Feeding on him. And allowing him to give himself to us. For us is fine, but to us, there's a disconnect. Everything we need to live the Christian life is in Jesus Christ. Everything that we need. We need nothing apart from him. Everything that we need to live the Christian life is in Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Peter for just a moment. Second Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power, who's his? This is Christ. As according as his divine power hath given unto us, what things? All things. Now this is going to cover a bunch of country, isn't it? It has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The reason that we don't have all things is because we've not possessed our possessions. Because we've been given all things. We've been given the provision for all things, but we've not possessed our possession. Let me give you an example of that, what I'm talking about, possess your possession. How many of you have a library? Nobody reads books anymore. Have you read everything that you have on your shelves at your house? Well, you possess it, but you haven't possessed it. You haven't possessed your possession. It's there, and it's yours, but you haven't possessed it. Let me make a picture here, if I can, for the remainder of our time together. And I want to piggyback off of this idea of physical blood and spiritual blood and what it does for us in all of that. The bloodstream is an amazing thing. It's why Scripture tells us that life is in the blood. It's an amazing apparatus. What we have inside of us here are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of cells. Individual cells. And for each and every one of those individual cells, there is a pipeline that goes to it. And that pipeline brings blood to that cell, by that cell. Every one of them has access to the blood. It goes to every cell. Inside, in the bloodstream, are red blood cells. The red blood cells that pass by every cell in your body. The red blood cells that pass by there carry things. It carries nutrients, it carries vitamins, it carries oxygen, it carries everything that cells need. Every cell has a different need at any moment in time. And all that that cell needs is provided. It is brought to that cell. All the cell has to do is receive it. Simply receive it. Okay? So the red blood cells and this stream is moving, and everything that you could ever possibly need is in that thing, and it is coming and coming and coming. And all you have to do is to appropriate it. All you have to do is appropriate what the need is. Whatever your need is, appropriate it because it's there. It's passing by. It's right there where you can get your hands on it. Possess your possessions. I'm talking about everything you need. Huh? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything that you need, He's not going to withhold from you. What you need is available to you. What you need is available to you. And He says simply with this that there has to be an appropriation process. Appropriate what it is that you need, because we have a constant provision. There's a constant provision in our lives. The Lord makes constant provision for us. We simply need to possess the possession that we already have. He's already made promises. He's already laid it out for us. We can count on it. We can believe on it. We have constant provision. Who has all the love they need? Who has all the strength they need? Who has all the mercy that they need? Who has all the faith they need? The forgiveness? Do you have all of that that you need? Who has all the patience that you need? It's not because it's not been provided for you. The Lord has provided those things for you. There's a constant provision that He provides for you in that. The problem is we haven't appropriated it. We haven't appropriated the provision that He's made for us. Why are we so weak and puny and paltry as Christians? Because we've not appropriated what is there for us to appropriate. There's a constant provision that He's making. The provision is there. We need to appropriate what He brings because He supplies our every need. Think of this. Not only does the blood bring supplies to every cell, it also does something else quite miraculous and marvelous. That when that red blood cell comes in there and brings what every cell needs, at the same time as it is appropriated by the cell then at the same time hands off garbage. Hands off garbage that goes back into that same stream. So it's like the milk truck coming and delivering milk and picking up your garbage at the same time. It picks up the garbage so that it can take it to other places in the body, so that it can go through the kidneys and it can go through the
through the lungs to be expelled and all of these types of things. So the garbage goes out. So the red blood cell has everything that we need. It just simply needs to be appropriated. Stick a hand out and there it is. There it is. And then in return, we can pass out our garbage, hand our garbage back out to be whisked away and to be taken away out of the body. Take a look over at 1 John for just a moment. 1 John chapter 1. Another one of them reminder verses. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Just as the garbage is taken out of the body by the same stream that brings the appropriation, that brings the provision, that same stream also takes things out and cleanses the body as well. You take and you get your belt off and you stick that around your arm and you girt that up real nice and tight here this morning. And for a little bit, nothing happened. But then I want you to just really get after it and start squeezing that hand and start pumping that arm up and one thing. Another. Guess what will start happening in a minute? A lot of you boys have already done that, hadn't you? Some of you girls have. I thought it was pretty cool for a while to do that sort of thing. Anyway, you keep pumping on that thing, and the next thing it'll start to do is tingle. And it'll start to feel a little bit numb. Next thing it'll start to do is start to hurt. And if you leave it on there long enough, it'll get really hurting. And if you leave it on there a little longer than that, I tell you what, you can't hardly stand it. It'll make you holler. It will hurt and hurt and hurt. Why will it do that? Because when you stop that flow of blood, the toxins can't get out. The bad stuff can't get out. And when the bad stuff can't get out, it binds up and those toxins begin to cause pain, cause serious pain in all of that. See, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses as well. And so what happens is when we've made our provisions, we also have to be careful to get rid of the garbage. To get rid of the garbage, because if the garbage stays in there, it builds up and creates pain and creates problems in our life. And so God, in His marvelous wisdom, has a vehicle for us to be able to provide for us and to cleanse us. And that provision and that cleansing is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful picture that He gives us about this life that is in the blood is one that should be indelibly etched on our mind. The blood has cleansing properties. Hebrews chapter 9. Kind of fleshes that out a little bit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? This is that cleansing that we're talking about. This cleansing and getting the garbage out. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You don't have to spend one more minute under the toxic weight of sin in your life. You don't have to spend another minute under it. What is it that you've let put you on the sideline of life this morning? What is it that you're holding against yourself? What is it that you are allowing to hold you down in your Christian life? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. See, the blood cleanses this. There's no reason to keep that around and let the toxins build up and have that pain that's in your life. It's time to turn loose of some of the mess and let it go. We don't need to be on the sidelines of life. We don't need to be on the sidelines of loving. We don't need to be on the sidelines of living. We need to move on. The blood provides that which you need. It also cleanses you from toxins when you release them back under the flow that you have that should be coming through you. Jesus gave Himself for us that He might give Himself to us in order that He might live through us. And that's the entire circuit that this is trying to get us to think about over in John chapter 6. There's a constant provision that the Lord has for us. There are cleansing properties that are available to us, and there is conquering power also in this blood and the power that we have right here. Let's think about the blood in our bloodstream again. The red blood cells do so many wonderful, wonderful things. They bring things to us and provide to us, and they take the garbage away so it doesn't build up and create pain in our lives. Now, when something foreign comes in, what happens? Something foreign comes into the bloodstream, something called white blood cells show up. White blood cells are the warriors. White blood cells are the ones that take care of infections and viruses and all of these wonderful, wonderful things that come into our lives. The white blood cells mobilize and they go out and they get after it. Man, there's several different kinds of white blood cells. There's them first responders that go out there and just attack what's taking place. There's others that come along behind it that are hardened, that have an armor on them that comes so that things can't permeate them. And they come in behind that. It's like the heavy armor comes in behind the SEAL Team 6 right there. And so they come in there and they fight and wage this war. And the beautiful thing about these white blood cells is that they have a memory. And anytime they face any kind of virus or any kind of memory, they put that back in their memory banks and they remember how to fight that. And so when they encounter that, one of their scouts encounters something like that, they call up not for everybody to come, but they just call for that bunch that's good at fighting this bunch over here. And this little bunch comes over and takes care of them. Boy, it's a miraculous thing the way our body works. Miraculous thing. Death sometimes is caused because something foreign comes in that they ain't seen before. Something that they're not used to, something they're not familiar with comes in. And when that something comes in like that, there's a lapse because the first responders, these come out, this is not doing any good, and all of a sudden there's a learning process that's trying to take place. So what it's like is like they call a little bit of a timeout to try to figure out what's going on. And in that timeout, sometimes that's too much for most of us. And in that timeout, while they're trying to learn, sometimes we don't make it through that. Scientists figured out that if they could take a weakened form of some kinds of viruses and such as that and inject it into you, that it, in its weakened form, these white blood cells could come in and whoop the snot out of it. And when they do that, you see, they have this memory and they remember how to do that when the full-fledged one comes and the fight's on. It's called immunizing. And so some of these things going on with all of that. These are some beautiful pictures that we have of what the Lord does and what His blood has done for us in His power. It is conquering blood that the Lord Jesus Christ brings with conquering power and all of that. Whenever these blood cells, white blood cells, begin to have this memory and begin to morph and change to fight these things, what happens is when they become to that state of being effective against all these viruses and things that are in there, when they come to that state, the folks that are in the know will tell you that they call that wise blood. Now that's wise blood. Why is it wise? Because it's learned and it's moved and it's grown and it's now wise blood. It's not caught off guard. It's on to its foe. It understands what's going on, and so it's wiser now than it once was. So this wise blood is how it is able to combat these very serious things when it comes in. The blood of Jesus is wise blood, and here's how: anything that He's overcome, we can too. Anything that He's overcome, we can too. John chapter 16 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 12, I'm sorry. Revelation 12, look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Satan can't defeat the blood that flows through Christ's body. And that's the church. The church is his body. And the devil can't defeat the blood that flows through his body. So with that being said, what I want to say here, right here, is this. We're not here to wallow around in the mud as though we have no help. We're not here to flounder like there's no hope. His life is my life. If you're saved here this morning, his life is your life. He makes constant provision for those that are his own. Thank God for the cleansing properties of his blood. All my sin is forgiven, and it's carried far, far away. Thank God for the conquering power of the blood. What he has overcome, so can I. Napoleon, after he had lost the Battle of Waterloo, was in the chart room with some of his generals, lamenting the defeat that he had just suffered. And we're talking about a huge defeat there. And in the course of the conversation, it is reported that he used a pointer and pointed to the British Isles on his chart and on his map. And as he did, he said that British Isles was colored red on his map. He said, "Had it not been for that red spot, I would have conquered the world." That's going to be the final words of the devil, too. Had it not been for that red spot, I would have conquered the world. There is power in the blood. And the words that we have here in John 6 are words that you can believe in. Let me give you some good ones here in verse 63. "It's the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life." The blood of Jesus Christ is sacred. It was shed. It is saving blood. But it is also meant to be shared blood. And in so sharing that blood with us, we have constant provision. We have cleansing properties that come with that. And conquering power. Conquering power for each and every life. The blood of Jesus Christ is much more than a song. It's much more than a hymn. It's life. It's life. "My words are life," he says. You want to live a meaningful life as a Christian, you better get in there and get into his word and see what he's talking about with all of this. Measure it up. Take a look at it. Compare it with itself. I'll tell you what, he won't lead you wrong with all of that. How many of you saved in here and you know it? What are you trusting in? The shed blood of Jesus Christ this morning? Huh? You trusting in the sacred blood this morning? Let me say this to you. God didn't intend for you to get stuck there. He loves you and he saved you, but he didn't intend for you to get stuck right there. He wants to live through you. And if he's going to live through you, then you're going to have to live in him. Live in him. We're not meant to be saved and stuck. We're meant to grow. Grow, 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 grow. And the only way to do that is to get that word going and get it going in your life. Amen. Well, there's some of you this morning that couldn't raise a hand to that question. Maybe you just feel like it's a foolish question. Maybe you just feel like you don't have to answer questions like that, that it might incriminate you. I don't know what the reason might be that somebody might not admit that they were a born-again Christian, unless, of course, they weren't. Now, that would be a good admission to make here this morning, I guarantee you, because the first step to getting saved is admitting that you need saving. And only those that are sinners need to be saved. How many in here are sinners? Huh? And then we got some other liars in that one too. Which makes you a sinner. And somebody in need of a Savior. So admitting that we need to be saved is a very important step on the way to salvation. It was sacred blood that was shed for you in order that you might have a salvation that lasts for ever and ever and ever. If you've got it this morning, you got something to crow about. If you don't, you need something to crow about. And I'd say, don't delay. Do not hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't put it off till tomorrow. My Bible says that you're not guaranteed another day. I'll be in Gonzales, Texas in the morning at a funeral. Baby 32 weeks, didn't make it out here. You never know. You never know at what process or what point in the process that you're at. So some of you sit around thinking, you know, I got plenty of time. I got all the time in the world. I'll do that when I get old and can't do nothing else. When I get old and can't run around and act like a fool like I'm acting today, well, then I'll get saved and go do the church thing and hang out with a bunch of silver-haired people. Huh? A lot of people don't make it to have silver hair. That's why there's a lot of, Scripture talks a lot about honor to those that have silver hair. By virtue of the years and the things that they've seen, they're to be honored. Not everybody makes it that far. If you're here today counting on you making it further than today, I'd say rethink it. Rethink it. You're on borrowed time. You don't know how much time that is. Let's stand for prayer. Now I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to open up these steps up here at the front called an altar. We always give opportunity for folks to respond at the end of a message because that's what's required anytime we get into the Word. Anytime you get into the Word, the Lord requires a response out of you. And if you didn't get something to respond to today, maybe you need to circle back around, listen to the tape. Amen? Try it again and again until there is something that you need to respond to, because that's what we're about. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come into your house and, Lord, put our elbow against other messed up people here. Lord, to cooperate with one another, to love one another, to learn, to grow, to be about your business. We thank you for the opportunity to do that. I pray, dear Lord, Lord, today that we might be honest and real and open. And then, Lord, that we might just simply follow your leading. Lord, you've made provision for us. Now we can reach out and grab it. Maybe there might be some here today that might need to have some cleansing done. Letting the kidneys and the lungs function today, Lord, and let that be happening at an altar. Lord, there might be some here today that are flagging in their own strength. And I would ask you, Father, to help them to understand that there is conquering power through the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. No matter what comes against us, no matter what enemy there is, Lord God, there is conquering power in you. Now, Lord, I commit these folks to you. I ask you, Father, as these that are coming as Christians, as Christians come to visit with you about things, I pray, dear God, that you'd just simply allow those that don't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin just to simply follow them to this old altar. Lord, catch somebody's eye, and we'd be glad to show them how they can be saved and know it this morning. Lord, please impress that upon those lives, for I pray it in Jesus' name and amen.